Alright, are we ready this morning?
Amen.
Without any further ado, I talk over to Father and Son. Do it better.
Son. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come together as a body to praise and worship you, Lord. And we thank you for this word that Matthew's going to bring forth and the work that he put in and the time that he put into it, Lord God. We know and we come expecting that you're going to speak through him to us, Lord, and speak to our hearts today. We just ask that you would just help us to receive it and to put it into practice. Just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, so this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about pain. And I've said before, when I am asked to do these Bible studies, I usually, and it takes me a while to actually find a subject, but it usually turns out to be something that I've experienced lately or I'm going through currently. And when I was, you know, seeking the Lord on what to speak on today, this topic kept coming up, and it's not one that I wanted to speak on, because who wants to talk about pain? Who wants to go through it? But it just kept coming to my mind and being put on my heart, so I figured I would do what God is telling me to do. Usually works out better that way. So start with, I mean, everyone at some point in their life goes through pain. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you come from. It's going to hit you sooner or later. And if somebody tells you that they haven't gone through pain or they're not currently going through something, they're lying to you. And because, you know, God wasn't kidding when he said in the word that in this world you will have troubles. He didn't say that, you know, you may have them, or it only happened once, or if you do these things, you won't have them. If you follow me the right way, you won't have them. It says you will. And no one is exempt from that. In Matthew 5, verse 45, it says that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Pain doesn't care who you are. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you've done in your life. It doesn't care who you are. It's going to hit you at some point. And in today's culture, I feel like it's a big thing about comfort. Like, just be comfortable, whether it's what you're wearing all the time or just in whatever situation it is, that you always have to be comfortable, and that if there's something that you're uncomfortable with, that you need to change it, or if there's someone you are uncomfortable with, you need to leave them, or whatever the case may be. And it's always portrayed as this bad thing and that we should avoid it at all costs. But to do whatever we can to combat that pain. And as Christians, many times, and I will speak on being a Christian because that's what I am and that's what my experience is, that a lot of times when it comes to pain and anything having to do with it, we'll always be like, you know, oh, that's a you know, attack from the devil. He's really attacking me right now, and he's really putting me down, and I'm really going through a lot with that. And you know what? In reality, that it is. You know, the devil does use pain to attack you. In fact, it's one of his main tools in his arsenal. And if you were to ask me, I would say it's probably his favorite to use, to push us down and to keep us from that relationship with God. And all you have to do, if you don't believe me, just read the book of Job. It starts out with the devil doing all these horrible things to Job, and it doesn't take long to realize that, hey, yeah, he does use that, and the reason why he was doing that is trying to get Job to curse God and pull him away from God and to ultimately destroy him. But what I want to talk about a little bit today is there's a different aspect to that pain that, you know, it's not that God is using that same pain, and that's not something that usually crosses our mind, at least for myself, that, you know, hey, God is actually, you know, he's using this. Because when that pain comes, it's literally the last thing that crosses our mind, because a lot of times it hits us out of nowhere, and you're in shock and you're unable to comprehend what's happening to you, and you're weakened so much by that blow that you cannot see. Whoa. Good?
Keep talking.
you can't see how anything good could come from that. And I thought about in terms of the devil using the pain. So in Luke, and I don't remember exactly what the where the verse is, but the one that talks about the devil will return at a more opportune time. And when that time comes where you have to go through that pain, and I can say from personal experience that that is definitely a more opportune time. And that's one of the more prevalent times that he will come and attack you and mess you up. And sometimes he messes you up so bad that we can't think about, and the words of the Lord don't come back into our mind. Just like in Romans 8:28, where it says, "And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." All things. Not the good things, not the happy things, not the easy things. He says all things. God always has a purpose for your pain that you're going through. God, what the devil is trying to use to destroy you, God is using to teach you. Now, also, another aspect to this that I was reading when I was reading Job was and thinking about was that the devil had to ask God's permission to inflict pain on Job. It wasn't just something that he could do, which kind of struck me, and I was like, because we always think, you know, God is love, and God is love, and we would never think that he would do or allow anything to hurt us, but in reality is everything goes through God's hands. Nothing happens to you without it first getting passed by, like passed across his desk. Let me check that out. Okay, that's okay. And that for me was a hard thing to think about, how God could allow these things to happen. And through this, through preparing this, he's begun to teach me and speak to me about that. And that everything good or bad that happens in your life goes through God's hands. First. Nothing, and that does not exclude pain in any way. And there's a specific, if God allows it, there's a specific purpose for that pain. He will not allow anything in your life to happen that will not benefit you in some way in the end. It won't happen. Now, when it's happening and the devil's like, yes, I've got him, and he's working on us and he's beating us down, and he thinks, oh, I've got God fooled this time. God's got it in his hand, and he knows exactly what the end result is going to be. And I was thinking about why he would do that. Why would he have to use that pain to teach us? And I was thinking about there's a saying that says, prosperity is a terrible teacher. And unfortunately, because there's certain limitations that we have as human beings, that God can't bring things out in us and teach us things without pain, because we're so stubborn and so hard-headed. And if we were always comfortable, we would never move forward. We would never do anything, really. I mean, and I'm speaking personally. But the thing is, and the thing that God's really been teaching me, is that God isn't interested in your comfort. Now, he is your comforter, but he's not interested in you being comfortable all the time. What God is very interested, though, in is your growth. And comfort and growth, real growth, don't really go together. And comfort and pain definitely do not go together. And so God uses that pain to help grow us. And in thinking about this, I was thinking about, and I was comparing it to like working out and weightlifting, which is one of my favorite things to do. And thinking about how lifting those weights, and if it's done correctly, is a painful process. And you know what? It's supposed to be. And so what's happening when you're lifting those weights basically is that you're tearing apart, you're tearing your muscles down, you're tearing the fibers, and you're messing them up, and it is painful. It's something that hurts. And Now, if you're crazy like me, you get used to it and you like that kind of pain. But it is painful, and there's...
You know, at this point, we got to ask, well, how much can you bench press? Can he lead up to that?
No, I'm not leading up to that. And why do we do that? Why do we put our muscles through that pain? Because it doesn't matter how perfect, you know, your sleep habits are or your diet or how well you live. Without that stress and strain on your muscle, they won't grow. It won't happen. Now, you might get bigger if you eat a lot, but your muscles aren't going to get, and your muscles will get a little bit bigger to sustain that weight, but that's about it. They won't get strong. They won't get strong, and they won't be able to carry that weight. And you can't just sit back. You can't just think that you're just going to get the size and strength that you need to carry those heavy things if you just stay the same and you don't push it. And in the same way, you can't expect to get stronger spiritually in your relationship with the Lord to get stronger if this weak flesh isn't torn down and we don't go through that painful process. How can we expect the characteristics of God to become strong in us and to become prevalent in us? So now what I want to do is take a little bit of time here and to go through the rest and talk about a couple of examples in the Bible where God was not wasting pain. The Bible. And the first one is Joseph. And for, you know, the sake of time, I won't go through the whole story because it is a long story. But where I want to pick up is in Genesis 37, 23 through 36. And this is right after Joseph was basically bragging to his brothers that he was going to be great and that they were going to bow down to him one day. So it says, "When Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate one he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, 'What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood.' His brothers agreed, so when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites." So that's one example of Joseph. And then the second one I want to go to is in Genesis 39, verses 11 through 20. And this is after Joseph has kind of got back on his feet in Potiphar's house, and then his Potiphar's wife is tempting him to commit adultery. And it says, "One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had ran out of the house, she called her household servants. 'Look,' she said to them, 'this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me and screamed, but I screamed. When he heard me, screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story: 'That Hebrew slave you brought to us, came to make sport of us. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house.' When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, 'This is how your slave treated me,' he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, in the place where the king's prisoners were confined." So first, he's taken by his own flesh and blood, as they say here, his own brothers, and thrown into a cistern and thrown into a hole, basically. And then he's taken and sold into slavery. And so he goes through that, and that would be a pretty painful thing to go through. And after he goes through that, he finally gets himself back on his feet, and he finally gets favor in his master's house, and he runs the house, basically. But then there's this other thorn that comes into his side, and he's sold, he's put in prison for something he didn't do because someone lied about him. And that, all both of those things, those, I mean, I've never gone through anything close to that in my life, and I can imagine how painful those things would be and how he was finally getting himself back, and then he was torn down again. And I was asking myself, you know, why did this happen? And God was speaking to me that without that painful tearing down process, that little cocky little 17-year-old boy, because we're told in the scripture that he was 17 when he was sold into slavery, that was bragging to his brothers and saying, "Hey, yeah, you're going to bow down to me someday, and I'm going to be great, and I'm going to run this and that." And he turned to him, and God was speaking to me that boy, if he would have given him that responsibility at that time, would not have been able to handle that. Without that process that he went through, he would not have been able to become the man that saved the most powerful nation at the time and brought them through famine and disaster. And God wasn't going to just give it to him and say, "Oh, here, run this for me. Oh, and by the way, you're also going to have to save that someday, and you're also going to have to have the wisdom for me to be able to save that." He wasn't just going to do that right away, because if he would have done that, it would have fallen apart so fast it would have made your head spin, because that little boy didn't know what he was doing and wasn't relying on God. And if he would have gotten that much responsibility and that much power, his head would have gotten so big that he wouldn't have needed to rely on God, or at least in his own mind. And God was speaking to me that God will not require something of you that he has not already put inside of you. Now, sometimes it's a little painful to draw those things out, because we are so, in our flesh, we're wicked, and we can't just allow that thing to come out, and we can't, those characteristics of God don't come naturally to us. So it is a pain, it's painful sometimes for those things to come out, but God's not going to have you do something that he hasn't already prepared you for and hasn't already put that ability inside of you. So God allowed Joseph to go through that pain to ultimately fulfill the call on his life. In Hebrews 12:11, it says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Now, Joseph went through painful stuff. Nobody can dispute that. But because God was faithful and was training him at that time, he and Egypt reaped that harvest that it talks about right there in Hebrews. And so the second one now that I want to kind of talk about a little bit is Paul. And in 2 Corinthians 12:3-10, it says, "And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I will delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It says Paul was given a thorn in his side. He was serving God diligently at that point, and he was walking in God's will for him. Why wouldn't God take that thorn from him when he asked? And it's right there in that passage. And it talks about how Paul, after all, was still just a man. And he was still susceptible to the flesh and to sin. And because of the great things that God was doing through him, and he could have very easily become confident in himself and conceited and been like, hey, you know, I can do this. I'm great. And then listening, and I'm sure there was people around him saying, oh, what a great man Paul is. What great things he's done. And that could have very easily made him think highly of himself, and he would have begun to rely less and less on God. So even though he begged God to take it away, and that right there was stuck out to me when it says he begged him, when he asked him to take it away three times. And I don't know about you, but I've had things in my life that I've asked God to take away, and he leaves there for one reason or another, and then for a season it's there, and then he takes it away, and then I realize why it was there. And God left it there because he knew that without that thorn there, that Paul was better off for that, even though it was a painful thing for him. In the long run, it would be better for him to have it there still. And he says, no, I'm not going to take it from you, that my grace is sufficient for you. And so that pain there was probably one of the reasons that Paul became arguably the greatest evangelist of all time, because he still had that thing that made him realize that he was still a man and that he still needed God. And I know in my own experiences, there's been many times that, and looking back now in my own painful experiences, that God used those things to, first and foremost, put me in a place where I had total reliance on him and realized that, hey, without him, I have nothing. I can do nothing. And not to say that I'm not ever confident in myself and mess up, because I still do that, but he's been growing me and teaching me how to rely on him and to realize that without him I can be nothing and I can do nothing, and the things that I have I wouldn't have without him. And especially, more specifically, in these past 3 years have been the most, I can say, the most painful years of my life. The one aspect, there's many reasons for that, but the one aspect to that stuck out to me was the pain of loss of people that were very important to me in my life. And in the midst of that pain, for me, it was a lot of times nearly impossible to think about how could this be used for good. And, you know, the people that we lost, they loved the Lord and they were Christians and they were going to heaven. So you have that peace about it, but you're still fighting that. Well, why do they have to go now? How can this benefit? How is this going to work for our good except for them going to heaven? And I couldn't see how like it says in Romans, how it would work out for our good. But in preparation for this, and in being able to take a step back and look at the past 3 years and God bringing things to my mind and to my attention, I've been able to see how he did use those times in my life to bring about a maturity in me. And he took that immature boy that I was, both naturally and spiritually, and through that turned him into the man that you see today. Now, disclaimer, I am not at all perfect, and I have a long way to go in many areas, because I know Pastor Don would get on me for that if I didn't say that. Yeah, there's going to be more to come.
It's going to be painful.
Yeah. But a man nonetheless. And through those times, it became real to me that, like I said, that I can do nothing without God, and I've learned also through that to be an ambassador for God. And before that point, unfortunately, I didn't know what that was, and I was not walking that out in any way. And he's taught me how to represent him each day and be diligent in that, and not, because, you know, where whatever sphere of influence you have, people are watching you, especially if they know that you belong to Christ. And he's been teaching me how to show them Christ's love and to act the way that God would have me act at all times. And I've also learned how, and I spoke about this last time I was up here, how vitally important your relationship with God is, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is, because in my earlier years, that was not something that I necessarily took to heart. It was something that I heard. And I was saved. I've been saved since I was 14 years old, but the importance and the realization that he wants that personal relationship with you as a father didn't become real to me until recent years. And he's been showing me how important that is, and learning how to love him, and through that teaching me how to nurture relationships with other people and how to love those people truly. Because I don't think, there's a lot of times where there are people that I'd say that I would love, but I really didn't. Looking back on where I was and the person I was, I didn't love them. I didn't know how to love them. I could talk about this for forever, about the things spiritually he's done, and even physical things. Like back in that time, and 3 years ago, I didn't have a job, I didn't have a career path, and I had no idea what I wanted to do. And he gave me both of those things, which was a struggle for me for a long time. But through his mercy and his grace, he showed me those things and gave me a path. And just in going back to even with relationships with people, I've been realizing that, you know, I have now, over these few years and the loss that my family and extended family have experienced, like, God has used that in an amazing way to grow us closer together as a family that we and have a closeness that we never had before. And it was through loss and clinging to each other and clinging to God. And I'm so thankful for that, because I know people in my family, I know them better now than I ever have before, and I love them more than I ever have before. And in this past May, at my grandfather's funeral, God used that in the physical, in bringing people into my life and me meeting people that I would have never known if it wasn't for that. And that is a weird time to meet new people, and a hard time to meet new people. But he's brought those people into my life that I can see knowing for years to come. And also bringing someone into my life who is particularly special to me. And without that, that would not have happened. And so God was using that pain to bring blessings in my life and in our family's lives that we did not see coming through that. And when we were consumed by grief and loss, that we couldn't see how, or at least I couldn't see how that would, anything good would come from that. But looking back, like I said, in the opportunity that I've had to look back, I can see, and I am thankful, and it's a hard thing to be, but thankful for the pain and thankful for the scars that it caused. And it's not, it's hard, because I mean, I wish I had those people back. But what God's done through that, His mercy is so good, and He is so good to me that I don't deserve. And He's been using that to draw me closer to Him in a way that I would not have, I wouldn't have pushed, I wouldn't have sought Him if I didn't have that need for Him, and if I didn't have that loss that I needed His comfort for. So, in closing today, the main thing that I wanted to, that God's been speaking to me and that I wanted to get across, and I know it's something we talk about all the time, and it's also a hard thing to really embrace, is to be thankful still in those times that you're going through pain that you don't see how. God doesn't allow us to see the end result of each season in our life and each painful thing that we go through. He doesn't allow us to see it. But through our faith in Him and truly believing what it says, that everything works out for the good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, that all those things will come. Allow God to use those. Cling to Him and let Him work in your life. And that He will not waste your pain. If you're going through it, He's going to use it, and He's going to turn you into a better person, into a deeper relationship with Him, and ultimately to fulfill the purpose that He has, that for that thing that He has made you for in your life. He won't waste it. And so that's what I had today. I hope that was beneficial for someone here, if not all of you, and I know it was beneficial to me, so thank you.
We're going to close now. I just wanted to add one fast comment. Yesterday, I had three Jehovah Witnesses stop by my house. They asked, can we ask you a question? I said, why, sure. They said, do you think the world is hurting today? And of course, I figured I'll play Pastor Don. What do you mean by the world? Is things not good in Denmark? Well, no, I didn't mean that. Well, what do you mean? Same way, hurting, what do you mean? Well, we're all going through trials. People go, I said, yeah. I said, are trials bad? Oh, yeah. Then I give almost his message word to word to him, till finally the guy in the car honked his horn and said, come on, we got to go. I said, where are you going? He said, well, it's obvious you know your word. You don't need our help. I said, no, don't get on. You need my help. He told that guy, get in the car, and he took off. But it was word for word exactly almost what he said today. I even used the one about exercising and stuff. So what a coincidence. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the young men and women in this church, Father. Yes. God. And especially for the Whitick family that brought 52 of them in, Father God. And Lord, just continue to use him, continue to grow him, Father God, and let him, just give him a glimpse, Father God, of the man he's going to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good job. Prayer down front.